You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Final hour on this Tuesday, Dan and the Danettes, Dan Patrick Show. Daniel Jones, the Giants quarterback. Danny Dimes will join us coming up after the big win against the Saints. We'll talk to the voice of the Yankees, Michael Kay, here momentarily. Are we coming up with a new poll question for the final hour, McLovin?
Okay, right now we have, if you could draft a quarterback who is 24 and under, and the runaway winner is Justin Herbert, 60%.
Okay.
This is probably not a fair question, but who's the hardest quarterback in the league to figure out? My choices being Derek Carr, because we still don't know if he's good. We debate it every week. I would put maybe Ryan Tannehill on there. Is there anybody else who...
Jimmy G?
Jimmy G, yeah, and Jimmy G. Jimmy
Baker
G, Derek
Mayfield?
Carr. Yeah.
Daniel Jones?
I know he's coming up.
Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, do you have an answer on any of these guys?
I'm still trying to figure him out. I am. I don't know about Daniel Jones. I think he's athletic, but I don't know how good that team can be. Jimmy G, I've never been a big fan. Derek Carr has moments where we go, oh, my God, and then other moments where you go, oh, my God. Baker Mayfield, same way. Jameis Winston, same way. Ryan Tannehill. Kind of same way. Yeah, McLovin.
For the record, you've been telling us Daniel Jones has talent.
I know.
For a long time.
Well, he got to take care of the football. He fumbles the ball. But I don't know how good that team is, in fairness to him. But that's a big weekend. He threw for 400 yards. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle @DPShow. Last time the Yankees and Red Sox met in a one-game playoff in Fenway, it didn't work out so well for Boston. It was so bad they had to give Bucky Dent a new middle name that was less than complimentary. That was 1978, but there's a lot of history, but it's not recent history. I'm watching ESPN. They're trying to hype this game, and they keep showing things that happened, 15, 17, 20 years ago, even longer. But we wanted to bring on Michael Kay, the great voice of the Yankees for the YES Network, the play-by-play voice. By the way, he has a book that if you haven't grabbed it yet, it's called Center Stage. His most fascinating interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z, available online wherever books are sold. Michael Kay joining us. How would you sum up this rivalry in 2021, Mike?
Pretty much even. I mean, if you look at the numbers, the Red Sox won 10 out of the 19 games. They started off great. The Yankees ended up great. And they swept the Red Sox in the final series that they played at Fenway Park. And Dan, if you think about it, they needed every single one of those wins. If they didn't, yesterday they would have been playing in a tie-breaking game with the Blue Jays. So I think they're fairly evenly matched. Obviously, the fan bases don't like each other. I don't know if there's that much enmity between the players.
How good are these teams? Are either one of these teams elite teams?
Well, the Yankees can be elite, and they can also be awful. It's a hard team to figure out. There are times that they look like they can beat anybody, and they could easily win the World Series, and then, they end up losing 8 games to the Baltimore Orioles. They're very, very tough to pin down and say exactly what type of team they are. The Red Sox, I think, are better than people thought they were going to be. If they don't have J.D. Martinez today because of the ankle, maybe they're not as good as you would think. I think the bullpen has been used a lot out of necessity. I'm not sure how much is there right now. But this pitching matchup between Cole and Eovaldi, I think it's a pretty even matchup. I think it's a pretty even matchup for both teams. So it's definitely a flip of the coin for sure.
Do you remember when you saw the Yankees change, that they were going to go one-dimensional? They were just going to be a team that went up there and was trying to hit home runs?
I remember it was a couple of years ago, maybe 5 years ago, that Brian Cashman, the Yankee GM, said something like, "I'm looking for Harry Beast." Now, he's got one in the broadcast booth, but he wanted people out actually on the field. So they just started piling, power hitters up there because they feel the three true outcomes of a walk, a strikeout, or a home run, that plays to their strength. And I'll tell you what, Dan, when they hit home runs, they do win. But the problem is sometimes they don't hit home runs. And when they don't hit home runs, it's very, very difficult for them to create runs. Although when they were 35-11, that one streak, in the middle of the season, they had guys like Andrew Velasquez playing and Greg Allen, and they had to create runs, but they're back to the Yankees right now, and they're going to hit a home run or they're going to lose a game.
Do you think we'll get to the point where somebody is counterintuitive and that they try to play small ball, they're in a pitcher's ballpark, and that's their strength. I always go back to Whitey Herzog with those Cardinals, or even, you know, Kansas City Royals, that they couldn't compete. But you can find these players, and if you build your pitching staff in accordance to your dimensions, do you think we see that in baseball at some point again?
I hope. I'm not sure, but I hope. As you know, Dan, sports is very copycat-like. So if there's a team out there that actually wins games like that, I think they might go that route. But baseball is so heavily analytic, and they are not doing this just on a whim. They've got computer readouts to say this is the best and most effective way to win games. And until those readouts say something else, I think they'll still keep stacking up home runs. The thing that I never understood, Dan, I understand the home runs win games. I just don't understand how they don't care about the strikeouts. And then you look at a team like Tampa Bay. They hit home runs, but they don't strike out. And I think that might be the next step, because their excuse, Dan, is, well, nothing bad could hit, you know, if you strike out, nothing bad could happen other than out. Well, nothing good could happen either. I mean, you could put a ball in play and there could be an error. So I think that Tampa Bay has solved that part of it, where you don't have to strike out 210 times a year to hit 40 home runs. I think that's the next step.
I know we're looking at the end result with the matchups for this one game format. Is there a better format in your opinion, no matter who's in? And, you know, the Dodgers won 106 and they're in a one game format. That's not fair. Yankees, Red Sox, why don't they play three? And as I said earlier in the show, if Tampa Bay was playing Toronto, no one would be saying, we got to have a three game series. It would be, yeah, let's just get this one and done. Is there a better format, a fairer format in your opinion?
No, I don't think so. It makes me laugh when people say, you know, it's not fair to the Dodgers. Really? They knew the rules of engagement. Finish ahead of the Giants, you wouldn't have to play a one-game playoff. The Yankees and the Red Sox, finish ahead of the Rays, you wouldn't have to play a one-game wild card. I actually like it. They're highly rated games. Essentially, you've created two game sevens, win or go home, and I think that's what every sport wants to do. I think it's perfect. And, you know, there are teams that are going to be left out, and that's the beauty of it. If this wasn't a wild card situation, it wouldn't be intense down to the last inning on Sunday. And one other thing, Dan, if you turn this into a best of three, you are then making it tougher and more difficult for the team that won the division, because they've got to wait longer and not play. And sometimes that takes you out of your game. I think you've got to pay a price if you're in the wild card, which the Yankees and the Red Sox will do, because you're not going to use Cole in the first game of the ALDS, and you're not going to use Eovaldi. In fact, you can only use them once out of the best of five. You need that detriment so that you go to win the division. I like it just the way it is.
Did you ever have one of those moments, phone calls, meetings with George Steinbrenner in your career where you went, oh boy?
I know he was upset with me once because I said that the Yankees had reneged on a contract to Daryl Strawberry, and he was in the car riding to the airport to leave New York, and he was listening to John and myself on the radio and heard that. And let's just put it this way, Dan, he made the driver turn around on the George Washington Bridge to go back to Yankee Stadium. So we had a little bit of a discussion after that game, but usually it was pretty cool, because, you know, we don't have to be homers with the Yankees. We just say the truth, because that's how George Steinbrenner was. If the team wasn't playing poorly, he said it. So he allowed us to say it on the air as well, and it was kind of refreshing.
For somebody who didn't meet or didn't know George Steinbrenner, how would you sum him up?
Intense. When he was in the building, you knew he was in the building, even if you didn't know he was there. If you hadn't seen him, everybody was buttoned up. And I think that you still see the residual of that with Brian Cashman, who once told me, I overstudy everything simply because of the fact I don't want him to ask me a question that I don't know the answer to. So he was driven. He had a really soft side as well, but he was very, very difficult to work for, because if you didn't do your job, he didn't want you there any longer. That's the best way I could describe him.
We got Daniel Jones coming up. Would you rather be a Jets fan or a Giants fan?
Well, that's a hard question. I guess the Giants are closer, so I would say I'd rather be a Giant fan, although the Jets do have some hope, because I think Zach Wilson can play, and I like Robert Saleh and how he's comported himself as well. But since I don't like suffering that much, Dan, at least not in sports, I think I would take the Giants.
Can you see Theo Epstein coming to the rescue for the New York Mets?
I can. I guess the offer could be high enough that any reservations he might have, maybe working for Steve Cohen, I don't know why he would have those, but if he did, you know, Steve Cohen could write a big enough check. I guess this is the next thing to conquer. You've conquered Chicago and Boston, and if you could somehow straighten out the Mets. I mean, he's already got a plaque in Cooperstown anyway. Maybe they just build him an entire wing if he did this.
I wondered if he wanted to be the commissioner, though, because he's working in the commissioner's office, and I don't know what his end game is, but I wondered about that if he was sort of in the line of succession to take over for Rob Manfred down the road.
You know, I don't know if he would be, because the commissioner's job is more businessman than sportsman. And, you know, obviously he's been the president of the Cubs, and obviously he ran some business operations, but you've got to answer to 30 owners, and amongst the owners is divisions, and then you've got to deal with the players as well. I'm not sure, A, he would want it, and B, the owners are the guys that hire the commissioner. Are they going to hire Theo Epstein? I'm not sure. I think they might go the businessman route again.
What's the coolest thing in your office?
Right behind me is all these baseballs and a couple of, you know, I had a lot of announcer signs. So Ernie Harwell and Vin Scully. And Vin Scully to me, because I went to Fordham and he went to Fordham. He's kind of like the patron saint of what we do, even to this day. So that's one of my special things there.
Have you ever been mistaken for anybody?
Kiefer Sutherland.
Okay.
If you look at my eyes, man,
I can see that. Okay.
But he's a little better looking than I am. But I also have gotten lately Jameson Taillon, which I'm sorry for Jameson that, you know, people have to say that about him.
What about Curt Schilling?
Oh, yeah. I got that. I got that poke in there. Guy comes up to me and said, Curt, I mean, it was unbelievable what you did in 2004. I said, I didn't do anything in 2004. And he goes, no, the whole bloody sock thing. I said, that wasn't me. And he thought I was just blowing him off. So then I, you know, if he insisted I was Curt Schilling, so then I essentially blew him off. I said, I don't really want to talk to you.
Because it doesn't matter to you if this guy doesn't like Curt Schilling.
Not at all. But I mean, I get Curt Schilling a lot. And as I go back more in the power alleys, I get more and more Curt.
have fun tonight there, Michael.
I'm going to try, Dan. Thanks a lot. Good
That's
to see you.
Michael Kay, Yankee play-by-play voice for the Yes Network. And his book is My Most Fascinating Interviews from A-Rod to Jay-Z. He's losing a little hair in the power alleys. I'd never power heard alley. That before. Paulie, you're losing some
of
hair
course,
in the power
yeah.
alleys.
Not that deep, but it's still playable. I'll take it.
Infield fly rule in effect. That was good. Yeah, I was around George Steinbrenner a couple of times, and I just remember the people who worked there would tread lightly. Steinbrenner, well, as they like to say if they work for him, Mr. Steinbrenner. So George Steinbrenner he had these guys who were up in the suite area, and they would watch and see if any members of the media in batting practice walked on the grass. You were not allowed to walk on the grass. And there would be security guys down on the field, walkie-talkies. And they would come up to you and go, hey, off the grass. And they enforced this. But George was enforcing this. He wanted that field to look immaculate. He didn't want, you know, any slobs to be walking on the grass. So you had to walk on, you know, these little paths that you have on the field there. But I just remember they'd have walkie-talkies, and you'd have some guy down there. Hey, they were always watching you at Yankee Stadium. Always. All right, we'll take a break. Phone calls, we'll have more of those coming up. But up next, we'll check in with the Giants quarterback, Daniel Jones. We're back after this in the Dan Patrick Show. It's amazing. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year automatically. There's no limit on how much you can earn, which is amazing. In fact, even more amazing because of all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards take Discover. And that means when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing the word yes more often. Learn more. Discover.com/yes. Discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
The fake, Ty Long gonna throw for the first time. Incomplete. Hunter Renfro came up and Jordan. What a hit by Renfro. And it will be first and 10 for the Raiders. What a play. What a play by Hunter Renfro.
That's courtesy of Raider Nation Radio. Brent Musburger with the call, 9:20 a.m. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted at 99% of the places in the United States that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations do apply. This program is brought to you by the great folks at Mercedes-Benz. Their vans go far beyond. From their customization options, cutting-edge tech, five-star sales service, financial support crew. Mercedes-Benz vans, built, equipped, engineered to be ready for anything. Go the extra mile, taking that all-important first step into an authorized dealership today. The pride of Duke University, Daniel Jones. He is the Giants quarterback after the big win against the New Orleans Saints over the weekend. Did you watch Monday Night Football, Daniel?
I watched a little bit of it. Weather delay pushed a little bit past my bedtime, but I watched the first half.
But do you watch as a quarterback or a fan?
A little bit of both. You can't see everything on the TV copy, so you got to kind of piece it together in terms of what's being run and what they're trying to do on offense and defense. But it's just fun to watch those games.
But do you compare yourself? Like you're watching Justin Herbert, you're watching Derek Carr. Do you sample from anybody? Like, I'm just curious what you could take from those games or those quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think there's certainly things you can watch and pick up, and throws they're making, concepts they're running, how they're kind of playing the game. But I think you also need to be careful with that because you don't know exactly what they're trying to do. You don't know what their ideas are going in the game, and comparing yourself too closely without knowing everything can be misleading.
When's the last time you were on the sidelines, you're watching a quarterback play and you're going, oh my God. Like, I don't think I can do that.
I don't know. I mean, I think every week you see guys who, make some plays that impress everyone. Everyone in this league has got a quarterback who can do it.
Oh, there's got to be one where you go, oh my God, did you see what Mahomes did or Aaron Rodgers did? Right?
Yeah, I think all those guys. Those guys, I think Herbert's one of them. Carr's one of them. So that was a fun game to watch last night. So, certainly, I have a ton of respect for those guys.
How much have you watched the Cowboys since that's next week's opponent?
A good bit, kind of getting into that, last night and then today, starting our prep on them. So they're good defense, ton of talent, all three levels of their defense, and have made a ton of plays and forced a bunch of turnovers and, do a lot of good stuff. So we'll have to be ready.
What's it like being the Giants quarterback when you're not on the football field? Like you're walking around, but what do people say when they come up to you?
Most of the time, just hello and how you doing? Hopefully, congrats on the win when we win and just kind of say hello when we don't. But, it's good. It's been most of my time, here. We're busy, during the season, so not a ton of time to be out.
Do we like Danny Dimes?
Initially I didn't at first. It's kind of corny, but there's definitely worse things you could be called.
What was your nickname growing up?
I didn't really have a nickname growing up. Most people call me DJ or Daniel, but I didn't really have a nickname growing up.
How good a basketball coach was Jay Billis?
Very good. He was a very good coach. I played with his son, Anthony, on every basketball team, I ever played on from probably the time I was in third grade. And Jay finally coached us when we got up to AAU in high school. And I'd say we had the schematic advantage and the coaching advantage in just about every game we played.
Did you want to play basketball in college?
I did. I think, particularly growing up and through middle school, it's probably what I played the most of. It's the easiest to play. You just need, a couple buddies and you can he can play basketball. So we were always playing hoops. And, you know, my younger brother is playing college basketball now. So we were always playing basketball and play a lot of football too. But I'd say basketball is probably my first passion.
But you were there at Duke when Zion was there. Do you think you could have walked on at Duke and played basketball with Zion?
I don't know. I think walking on and then playing with Zion are two different things. But, certainly enjoyed watching him play.
How close were you to going to Princeton instead of Duke?
I was close. I think you know, going into my senior year, I was committed there and looking forward to that opportunity. And then you know, through that senior football season, Duke came on, and being a Charlotte kid, being close to Duke, and opportunity to play for Coach Cut were all things that I couldn't pass up.
Are you a Carolina Panther fan?
I was growing up, yeah.
Not anymore.
No, not anymore. Not anymore.
Favorite quarterback growing up was who?
Well, I was a big Jake DeLome fan because I was a Panthers fan, and they had some great years. I loved watching him and Steve Smith, Musa Muhammad, all those guys. You know, I think all the big quarterbacks, you know, Peyton and Eli obviously were huge, and, you know, Rodgers and all those guys growing up.
Well, congrats on the win against the Saints, and good luck against the Cowboys, Daniel.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
That's Daniel Jones, and he's okay with Danny Dimes. I wondered about that. That's one of those where you get a nickname and you go, wait, I don't know if I like that. Plus, you got to be throwing dimes if they're going to call you Danny Dimes. Yes, McLovin.
Those are pretty spicy nicknames you got growing up, too.
Yeah,
DJ. Or
yeah.
Daniel.
Yeah. Yeah, Paul.
I could see not wanting to be out and about if you're not winning games, though, as a quarterback, especially in New York City. I'm sure there's other towns where if you're the quarterback, you may not get accosted on the street. But being the Giants or Jets quarterback and on your off day, I don't think I'd run and get a scone.
Yeah, but you're not in Manhattan. I don't think he lives in Manhattan. You're not on the streets of Manhattan walking around.
You go to like a local place to get a coffee and a bagel, and I can't imagine the reaction from some fans.
Well, I don't think he's wearing his jersey out. You know, he might not be that recognizable in the suburbs of Jersey there. Yeah, McLovin.
If you were a Giant or a Jet and played in New Jersey, would you still want to live in New York City if you were 25?
Yeah.
I would too, but I don't think many of them do.
No, I don't remember many of them. Most of them lived in Jersey from when I remember back in the 80s when I was around the team. But, you know, the practice facilities are there as well. There's no reason to be in the city if you have to commute out to Jersey. Yes, Eden.
I wonder if players who play sports that have guaranteed contracts are more likely to live in the city than not. So if you're just thinking about money, if I'm a player in the NFL, I'm like, I don't know how much more of this money I'm even going to get.
Yeah.
But if I'm a baseball or basketball player, I'm like, let's go.
Well, if you're playing in New York, you're playing at the Garden, you're a Ranger or a Knick, then yeah, I'm living in the city. Yeah, Paul.
But imagine you get traded somewhere like to the 49ers and you're trying to buy a little house around that area. And you're like a backup defensive back making $700,000 a year.
Well, yeah, there are certain places where you can live where you can go, I can live like a king. And then you go to New York, L.A. Like, if you're in Green Bay, I'm going to guess 700 grand is going to go pretty far.
Outside Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. In New York, 700 grand, I can get you a studio in Red Bank.
That's per square foot.
Yeah. I'm gonna need to get a roommate with that to pay off this 700 grand. Yeah, McLovin.
Yeah, go on Craigslist. Roommate wanted, backup quarterback, Giants.
If you're Daniel Jones, do you buy the NFT where he trips? No, do you? But you buy it, so you own it, so nobody else gets it. McLovin?
Very smart. I want to buy the NFT where I break my glasses with the basketball, too.
Ooh.
Like a similar thing.
Yeah. Giants are 1-3. Next opponent will be the Cowboys coming up on Sunday afternoon. A couple of phone calls. There's some reporting going on with Urban Meyer, and it feels like there's speculation. I mean, this isn't heavy reporting, but there's just sort of speculation. Michael Silver, who's covered the NFL for a couple of decades now, says in a tweet, the Urban Meyer situation in Jacksonville has reached a crisis point, especially in the locker room. One player told me, quote, he has zero credibility in that stadium. He had very little to begin with. Michael Silver goes on to tweet, players were particularly put off by the fact that Meyer canceled Monday's team meeting as he dealt with the uproar over the videos of him and a young woman getting cozy in that Ohio bar. He even canceled the team meeting. He was too scared, a player said. Michael Silver goes on to say, instead, Meyer only apologized to position groups individually. He portrayed the woman in the videos as a random person who was just there dancing. Suffice it to say, his audience was highly skeptical. He then adds, said one player, we looked at him like, what the bleep? Right when he left, everyone started dying laughing, and he knew it. Bottom line, Michael Silver continues to tweet, said the player, it's bad. I don't know how he's going to function. Yeah. So those are some pretty damning quotes. I haven't heard anything yet from Shad Khan, the owner. I think that's the important person to hear in all of this. I think the only thing I saw was he was aware that Urban Meyer was going to stay behind and visit his family, grandkids in Columbus, where he has his restaurant, and then fly back. Since they played on a Thursday night, and I think that was about all that we heard. Paulie, do you have a statement from Shad Khan?
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you. The team just tweeted out. Give me 30 seconds.
Okay. All right. 877-3DP-SHOW, email address dp@danpatrick.com, Twitter handle @DP Show. Jacob in Texas joining us. Hi, Jake. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Dan. Hey, how's it going?
Good.
So I thought I would just share this story with you guys. So a couple of years ago, right before the pandemic hit, I was traveling from Texas to California, had a layover in Phoenix. And so I go and sit down kind of away from everybody. And there's this one seat kind of by just this one other guy. And we're off to the side. And so I sit down. I'm just minding my own business. And the guy next to me is on the phone. And I can hear his voice. And all of a sudden, I just feel like I recognize his voice. So when he gets off the phone, I lean in. And I said, hey, I apologize. But have I heard you from somewhere? Are you famous? And he was like, no. He's like, no, I'm not. And then and I was like, are you sure? I swear I've heard your voice from somewhere before. He said, and so he told me no, that he just had woken up early this morning and he has one of those voices, is what he told me. So then I'm just sitting there, about 10 minutes goes by, and all of a sudden this guy comes running up and he says, Gene Nance, oh my gosh, you're my favorite announcer ever. Oh my, can I take a picture with you? Can I get your autograph? And he does this whole thing with this guy and he stands up and he's really nice and he took care of it. Well, then after the guy leaves, he sits right back down next to me, and it's just really quiet. And then out of nowhere, he just leans into me, and he goes, hey, man, I'm really sorry for lying to you. I just, when I travel, I just try to mind my own business. And I just acted like it was no big deal. And so ever since then, every time I see you or hear Jim, I always think of that story, so I would share it with you guys.
All right. Well, thank you, Jake. Hello, friends. Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, 15 minutes ago released the following statement. I have addressed this matter with Urban. Specifics of our conversation will be held in confidence. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect. That will require a personal commitment from Urban. To everyone who supports, represents, or plays for our team, I am confident he will deliver. He is 4 games in to his career as an NFL head coach. It'll be really hard to recapture that locker room, if he had that locker room to begin with, because there were reports that, this college rah-rah type attitude was not going over well in that locker room. Then you have Tim Tebow was brought in. You bring in the strength and conditioning coach from Iowa, who was already under a cloud of controversy. You have this. You have play calling. You have, it just feels like the list keeps growing. It's not supposed to grow like this. exponentially. This isn't going away. And if you continue to lose, then, I mean, once those players turn on you, they usually don't turn back. And you know, Shad Khan has got on, you know, he's a billionaire. So if it doesn't work out, then he'll move on and he'll find somebody else. Somebody's going to want to come in there and, you know, be the coach of Trevor Lawrence. But, you know, billionaires don't want to be told what to do. And, you know, that's another thing to factor in. If that were the case, then Daniel Snyder might be a good person. But, you know, these people, they don't need to answer to anybody normally. But you have to answer to your fan base eventually. But with Urban Meyer, this isn't going away. This isn't going away. I think the statement makes it seem like that he's safe right now. For now. Who's Jacksonville got coming up here? What are the next couple of games here? Because you're 0-4. And if you start to all of a sudden get to 0-7, 0-8, yeah, McLovin.
So they host the Titans this Sunday, and then they host the Dolphins.
Okay.
And then they go to Seattle and host the Bills. So the next two games are their chances, probably.
Yeah, yeah. Boy, those might be really, really important games. Far more important than we ever thought. Because if you don't win those, I'd have... You're not winning in Seattle. And then Buffalo comes back. I mean, if he wins two games this year, three games this year, I don't know if anybody thought, you know, maybe they're going to win five. Maybe the over-under was four for Jacksonville. And I do think that you're going to win. He can win a couple of games that you would go, man, I can't believe they're leading. They're winning. They won. Yeah, McLovin.
They were leading the Cardinals at halftime, and they were beating up somebody last week, too.
Yeah. I thought they were going to beat the Cardinals. But, you know, you're going to – they'll get it right. The question is, how often will they get it right? Yeah, Paulie.
3.5 years ago, they were 10-6 and a couple plays away from going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. That's forever ago.
Yep.
Forever. Had that great defense. You know, they survived with Blake Bortles as their quarterback. Yeah, McLovin.
I'm finding it hard to recall why they hired Urban Meyer in the first place. Like,
one of the great college coaches in the last, you know, 30 years. This doesn't take away from that. It's just when you're a college coach, you control everything. He got there and tried to implement that, at least according to the reports. And these players aren't going for that. They were happy to get away from that in college. Like, I have to put up with this. The only way I can get to the league is I have to put up with this. And then once you get to the league, you're like, no, I don't need that. That's not how it works. You know, I get paid, you get paid. Chances are I might be getting paid more than you. I don't want the rah-rah stuff. Yeah, Paulie.
I'm going back to that game 3.5 years ago, AFC title game, New England Patriots, Jacksonville Jaguars. With 8 minutes and 50 seconds left, they had a 20-10 lead in the ball. 8 minutes and 50 seconds, 20-10 lead in the ball on the Patriots. Two touchdowns from Brady to Amendola, and it's over.
Let's take a break. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow, back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan Patrick Show newsletter available daily around 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific. Recaps the entire show. Sign up. Go to danpatrick.com. Enter your email address in the box that slides out bottom right corner. You're good to go. Backroom guys do a great job with the newsletter. Gives you a heads up on specials that we have. T-shirts available, podcasts as well. Everything is there for you. And it's a Dan Patrick Show newsletter. All righty. Last call for phone calls, what we learn, what's in store tomorrow. Let's go to Dan in Mexico. Hi, Dan. What's on your mind in New Mexico? Hey, Dan.
Hey, I'm Ed.
Ed. Well,
that's... Ed in New Mexico.
Oh, okay, as opposed to Dan in Mexico. Hi, Ed.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call. You're the best interviewer on radio or television. But I had to say something about Aaron Rodgers. I have to go against the grain.
Oh.
The grain seems to be that he can be an actor, that he can do Jeopardy, and I don't see it. I don't think he has any presence. He can play himself. I have cast plays and films, and unless I was going to cast him to throw a football, he couldn't do anything else. So I'm sorry. I don't agree with his career as an actor going forward. I think he should stay with football.
All right. Well, thank you. That's Ed in New Mexico, not Dan in Mexico. Maybe Dan in Mexico would have thought that Aaron Rodgers could do other things. I thought he did a pretty good job on Jeopardy. I was told all along that he was not going to be the choice, but that they did like his preparation, that he did work hard. He wanted to be great at it. And it's not fair to look at 1 week in there and go, boy, I know what you're going to be like. I can only tell you from experience. So all these people who are being critical or giving their opinions, how many have actually been on that set and, you know, handled the traffic there? And I did 100 episodes of Sports Jeopardy. And I can speak from my experience. It's hard to show personality when you're trying to get everything right. I mean, that's the key. You're an air traffic controller, and then you got to have personality. I mean, that's what it is. You're landing planes, and there's so much going on, and you have to be aware of so many different things. And it took me probably 50 episodes where I felt truly comfortable where I could have some fun. Just to do it for a week, that's not fair to anybody who does it. But if you do stand out after a week, then you deserve the job. And Mayim Bialik did a great job, got the job, and good for her. But it's not easy. And I was in my own world. These were sports questions, answers. I knew most of them. And even then, it was still difficult. But can Aaron do that? Yes, he can. Can he be an actor? I don't know. I mean, I'm an actor, I guess. But you can't sit here and go, boy, you can't be an actor. Or you can be an actor. Because Terry Bradshaw's done it. Howie Long's done it. I mean, we've seen guys who do it. Tony Romo, I guess, is an actor. He's in commercials. Rogers in those commercials feels like he's doing some acting a little bit. Yeah, McLovin.
You got a lot of former players who are doing like host roles, like Strahan has a game show. Nate Burleson's on CBS This Morning.
Yes.
Frank Giffrey was always doing that kind of stuff.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Do I think Rogers can do it? Yeah, I guess so. Do I hope he plays football for another 5 years? Yes, I do. But I don't think he was going to get the Jeopardy job. I thought it was going to be... I thought Ken Jennings was the guy who was going to get the job. And somebody who works there and I met through Sports Jeopardy, you know, they kind of let me in on some of the things going on. But, you know, let's just put it this way. I knew a little more than I ever let on. But I wanted to be fair to the process of these people who were trying to do this job and you know, still held out hope that they were going to get this job. But Mayim, for all intents and purposes, is the right person for that job. That was it. I found out stuff after the fact that, you know, who was going to get the job, Mike Richards, that they got all this positive press. I mean, they did a wonderful job. It was just they didn't vet who was going to take over for Alex. And had they done that, they could have taken advantage of all this positive publicity because they got a lot and people were talking about this and people wanted that job or at least the opportunity to do it. And they had, you know, quite a list of people who got a chance to do that. But that is a difficult job. Of all the TV hosting jobs, game shows, that has to be right there. Because you can't mess around. Like if you screw up on Price is Right, like it's not the end of the world. Jeopardy? Oh my God. You can't screw up Jeopardy. Yeah. Jeopardy is, you know, that's in our lexicon. Like that Jeopardy is something that's in our life every single night. Like if you miss Wheel of Fortune, you're okay. Jeopardy? Wait, did he win again? How many has he won? Like it's really, really, really important. And the people who work there are wonderful, brilliant. They care so much about it. I would get my game sheets, so it had every clue on there. And this was Sports Jeopardy. I wasn't allowed to, they wanted to know where I was going to be when I had that, when I was studying it prior to doing the shows. So I'd just be in my dressing room. And I used the same dressing room that Alex did. And I would just have it there. They wanted to make sure that they knew where those game boards were. And, you know, so you can't share it with anybody. And this was just Sports Jeopardy, which, you know, we were doing this, and it was just on a website that we were doing it on, a Sony website. But Aaron Rodgers, to do what he did, and the person I know there said he probably prepared more than anybody they'd ever seen. Okay? So, Jeff in Detroit. Hi, Jeff. What's on your mind today?
What up, though? One time for Chad Rowe. Thanks for sliding me in. Listen here, that Bruce Arians interview was great. I find it kind of funny that his turning point was the halftime of the ATL game where he became more offensively and defensively aggressive, and that eventually won him a Super Bowl. That was a pretty good point. Urban Myers, over under 4 games. What you got?
What, 4 more games?
Yeah, 4 more games before he calls it quits. And what happens first? Does he resign, or does the pressure become so overwhelming that, you know, how the organization will come forth? It seems to be in both parties' interest for him to, you know, not be with the team anymore. Because once you lose the locker room, it's gone.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't want to – thank you, Jeff. I don't want to get into the over-under 4 more games. I mean, it's his job. No, I don't want to do that. Yeah, I think he's going to stay there the whole year? I hope he does. Yeah, and see what happens. But if the owner is backing him, that's the most important step. But then that locker room, I've seen that get away from people, get away quickly from people, and they never get it back. Todd, what'd you learn today?
Bruce Arians has always enjoyed talking trash to officials and opposing players, including Richard Sherman, who's now on his own team.
McLovin?
Jim Nantz was thrilled to visit Brett Musburger and the CBS crew early in his career.
Seton?
Football's a team game.
Paulie?
Jim Nantz. Tony?
What we learned brought to you by 2021 Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs every member is waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Thanks for joining us on the program. For Seton Paulie, Fritzie McLovin, yours truly, this has been the Dan Patrick Show. One more item. We close out this Tuesday show, and what a show it was. Got to have energy to do something like this for 3 hours, right? It's a young man's game, whether you're at the gym or the office or you're hosting a radio show. M-Drive, the everyday supplement for driven guys who refuse to let age slow them down. Packed with clinically tested ingredients, M-Drive supports healthy testosterone levels while helping maintain lean muscle and giving you the energy to fight back against aging so you can compete every single day. You can find M-Drive at Walgreens, Rite Aid, and Vitamin Shop, or visit mdrivedan.com. It's delivered right to your door. They offer free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. As we get older, don't have to act like it. Don't have to slow down. You can keep up with younger guys. M-Drive gives your body the T support it needs to compete and win. M-Drive is not for everyone. It's for the driven. Visit mdrivedan.com for more strength, energy, and T support to fuel your daily drive. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdrivedan.com.